November 18, 1927. How, when God manifests a new truth to the creature, it is a new feast for God and for her. As the soul decides to do her act in the divine volition, she calls the divine fire to be reflected in her act with its light, which is the virtue of emptying it of everything that is not light. I was feeling afflicted because of the usual privations of my sweet Jesus, but all abandoned in his lovable will. Then I thought to myself, in these days my highest good, Jesus, has not told me anything, everything has been profound silence. He just barely let me feel a few motions of himself within my interior, but without a word of his. But while I was thinking this, he moved in my interior, telling me, "My daughter, when God does not manifest more truths, the divine will is as though suspended, it does not add more goods for the creatures, therefore, for God and for the creature, there is not the feast which the truth brings with itself." On hearing this, I said, "For you it is always feast, because you have all the truths with yourself, but for the poor creature the feast is interrupted, because she does not possess the fount of all truths. Therefore when her Creator does not communicate more truths to her, the new feasts remain interrupted for her. At the most, she enjoys the feasts already communicated by you, but the surprises of the new feasts are not in her power, which is not so for you." And Jesus added, "My daughter, indeed for us it is always feast, nor can anyone shade, even slightly, the ocean of our new joys and endless happinesses which our divine being contains within itself. But there is a feast which is formed in the act when our divine being, overflowing with love toward the creature, manifests its truths. To see the creature twice as happy, and so many more times for as many more truths as we manifest to her, is a new feast for us. To put out our truths which come out of the founts of our joys, to prepare for the creature the banquet of our happiness which the truth contains, to see her celebrate together with us, sitting at our own table to nourish herself from our own food, is a new feast for us. Feasts, joys, are formed in the communications. Isolated good does not bring feast, the joy does not smile, the happiness does not banquet alone, it does not put itself into liveliness. And besides, with whom can it celebrate, smile, banquet, if it finds no one for whom to make this feast, with whom to smile and to inebriate each other? Therefore, union forms the feast. Rendering another creature content forms one's own contentment. This is why, though we have our new feasts which are never lacking to us, we lack the new feast which we do not give to the creature. If you knew our joy and happiness in seeing your littleness sit at our table, nourish itself from the truths of our supreme volition, smile in its light's face, take our joys in order to make within yourself the deposit of our riches, embellish yourself with our beauty, and, as though inebriated by so much happiness, hear you repeat, 'I want the kingdom of your fiat.' You would want to put heaven and earth upside down to ask me for my fiat so as to obtain your intent. And to do what? To render the whole human family happy of your same happiness. It seems that your feast is not full if you do not render others happy of your very happiness, which you contain by virtue of my will. If you could make everyone know everything that you know about it, and make everyone enjoy the happiness it possesses, would it not be one more feast for you, and would you not feel twice as happy, of the happiness of others communicated by you? And I, surely, my love, how much happier and more content I would be if I could overwhelm everyone into your holy will. And Jesus, well then, so I am, to our happiness, to our feast that is never exhausted and keeps us always in feast, would add the happiness of the creature. Therefore, when I see you yearn for my truths in order to know them, I feel drawn to manifest them, and I say, I want to enjoy my new feast with my little daughter, I want to smile together with her and inebriate her with my own happiness. So, during these days of silence, you have lacked our new feast, and we yours." He kept silent, and then he added, "My daughter, as you decide to pour yourself into my divine fiat and form in it your thoughts, words and works, you make a call to my will. And my will, feeling called, answers the call by reflecting its light in your act, and with its light it has the virtue of emptying that act of anything human that might be in it, filling it with all that is divine. So, my divine volition feels called by your thoughts, by your words, by your hands, by your feet and by your heart. And it reflects its light in each of them, it empties them of everything and forms in them its life of light. And since light possesses all colors, my divine will places one of its divine colors on the thoughts, another on the words, another on the hands, and so with all the rest of your acts. And as you multiply them, so does it multiply its divine colors invested by its light, and, oh, how beautiful it is to see you invested by so many varieties of divine colors and shades for as many thoughts, acts and steps as you do. All these divine colors and light give you such beauty that it is an enchantment to see you, and the whole of heaven would want to enjoy from such beauties with which my fiat has invested your soul. Therefore, let your call to my divine will be continuous.